Crazy Porks who host this show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench. Cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4. Pork therapy, scatterly-dee-bop, shabba-dooey. You'll revel in hilarity. It's pork therapy.
Hello.
Hello.
Mike.
You remembered. Hello,
I Stephanie. Think I know you. We've only done 126 previous episodes of Pork Therapy together. Vaguely remember you.
I'm not just Mike. I'm Mike the Mensch.
You are, and I'm Stephanie the Darling.
That's right. And that'll be important in a few minutes.
Indeed. And so welcome
to our...
That's
from our theme song.
Yes, in case you didn't get the reference, it is from our theme song, which is very catchy and provided by Hannah Hoffman.
Yes.
Indeed. So we're Pork Therapy, right, Mike?
That's also correct.
Yes, I remembered. And we also have a website. It's porctherapy.com. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and you can listen to our shows, and you can do all kinds of things from our website. But we're a podcast about voluntary relationships, right?
That's also correct. You're just hitting, batting 100 or...
1,000.
1,000 or whatever the hell the sports reference is.
If I was batting 100, that would be that would be bad, as I understand it. Not that I really watch sports too much, but I think that's bad.
Wow.
See, you meant to compliment me, and then you ended up insulting me. Good job, Mike.
Oof. You look like $100.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh, anyway, okay.
And this is a total tangent, but you know the old saying, I guess it's a saying, you're a one in a million.
Yeah.
I remember a commercial once.
You're one in
10. Yeah, right. I remember a commercial once saying, if you're one in a million, then there are 1,000 people just like you in China.
That is really funny because there are a billion people in China.
A million
that
just
makes sense.
It just means less now that we think about the world more.
Wow. Yeah, actually, probably that should be updated because there's probably more than a billion people in China now.
Right.
There's a billion people in Beijing alone. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. Anyway, so, okay, now this is a real tangent, but there was this book that we discovered over the weekend called The Five Chinese Brothers. And we had this in-depth discussion about whether or not this book is racist. I'm going to tell you a little synopsis, and you decide whether it's racist. What do you think, Mike? There's a story.
Okay.
It's printed, I guess it was written, I think, in the 1940s or 1950s. And it was written by two white American authors, I think like a husband and wife or something. And it's a children's book. And it's done in three colors, black, white, and yellow.
Mm.
Okay. And it's a story about five Chinese brothers who all look exactly the same. And now, to be fair, the story hinges on them looking the same. There are these five brothers, apparently, and they each have a special talent. Like, one has an iron neck, the other one can stretch to, like, the bottom of the sea, the other one can drink the sea. And then one of them gets wrongly accused of a crime, basically. And then they all use their powers to pretend that they're the same person, and when they're getting punished for this crime and the judge is trying to execute them, they use their special abilities in various ways to escape death. And then at the end of the story, the brother who was originally wrongly accused of this crime is vindicated because since they were not able to die during these punishments or whatever, that must mean he's innocent.
All right.
And in the book, there are these scenes with a bunch of people, and it shows this crowd of what's supposed to be Chinese people, and not only are their faces colored in yellow, but they all are drawn as looking the same, and then they have these eyes in the pictures, you know, like these kind of slash marks.
Maybe you're racist because all Chinese look the same to you. I'm just kidding.
I don't think they do. I've heard it said that anybody who is like unfamiliar with people of a certain race will say things like, oh, well, they all look the same, no matter what race it is. Like, people say that about white people or, you know, any other race.
But I'm sure people say it, but I don't think it's true.
Yeah, I don't know. I've heard it often about Asians, you know, just as a stereotype that people hold. So I don't know. I just, when I saw this book and I knew a little bit about the plot and I saw the illustrations, a light bulb kind of went on in my head and I was like, this seems kind of racist. I don't know if I would like to read this book if I had kids. I wouldn't probably want to read this book to my kids. It just kind of seemed to fit in with these like preconceived stereotypes of Asian people.
You mentioned that the book hinged around them looking alike,
mm-hmm.
but did it have anything to do with them being Chinese?
It was called The Five Chinese Brothers.
But did it have anything
like
to do with
the plot?
Them? Yeah, I mean, if it was called The Five Italian Brothers, would it change anything?
Yeah, I mean, there were, like, the illustrations were clearly set in China, like, from
that's
the dress.
That's not what I'm saying. Would the story change, the meaning change, the lesson change?
Mm-hmm.
Would any of that change if you either changed Chinese to another nationality or eliminated the nationality?
I don't think it would change, no.
Then it seems racist to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. And I mean, like, supposedly I was reading about it online and supposedly it's based on this traditional Chinese folktale. Like, that's what the authors said, I guess. But there's no reference. They don't say where they got it from. They don't say how two white American authors found out about a traditional Chinese folktale. And that just seems a little bit fishy to me.
And you said it was in
no
the
40s? Citation. Yeah, 1930s or 40s. Somewhere.
That would be the time when many Americans were calling Asians yellow during the Second World War, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, I don't know. What I wanted to say about this book was that it sparked this interesting discussion about racism among a bunch of people that we were with.
Uh-huh.
But the thing that I was thinking of that I wanted to talk about maybe on the show was that racism is collectivism, right? Just like sexism, homophobia, any kind of hating people because of an arbitrary characteristic that they cannot control and they did not choose, mm-hmm. right? So obviously that's something bad and worth opposing, right?
Okay.
I think it is.
Yeah? I don't know where you're going.
Well, I think there are a lot of people out there, and I've met some of them in the Liberty community, I guess, who disavow things like feminism and will say, go out of their way to say like, oh, I'm not a feminist or I'm not politically correct or whatever. They'll disavow those kind of things and almost go so far as to be not sensitive to some people's feelings who might be discriminated against based on race or gender or whatever.
Okay.
Just because they associate feminism or political correctness with the government. Like they associate those things with using the state's power to give certain groups certain privileges, which is actually fundamentally racist. I think that the ideas of collectivism should be opposed because they're arbitrary. They're not based on morality. They're based on things that people cannot control and did not choose, like race or gender, completely arbitrary things. So they're worth opposing on the basis that we're individualists and that we don't espouse collectivism. However, we can oppose those things, racism, sexism, homophobia, and still oppose the state. Like, just because you oppose those things doesn't mean that you're a gender feminist and want to give women special rights because they're women. You know what I mean? The gender feminists and the misogynists are essentially the same thing because they're both collectivists. One group just thinks that women should be discriminated against because they're women, and one group thinks that women should get special rights because they're women.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It makes sense, and I agree. It's the same thing with what's it called when the government puts quotas on who gets into universities?
Oh, affirmative action.
Affirmative action is reverse racism. It's the exact same thing. In fact, it's racism. It's just racism with positive instead of racism with negative.
Sure, yeah.
It's the exact same thing you're describing.
Yeah.
I agree. And it's not good.
Yeah. Yep, so I thought that was worth mentioning. Anyway, so we do have a question, right?
Yes.
We do. Okay, cool.
And it's actually a voicemail, so...
Oh, yippee!
Yay!
So, you know, it's been a while since we've gotten a voicemail, so
yes,
I'm glad that someone
it.
Called. That's
yes,
awesome.
Thanks for the question and for leaving it as a voicemail.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, here it is.
Hello, Stephanie D. Darling and Mike Simmons. I have a question about the pot calling the kettle black. How do you handle a situation where there's an attribute, quality, or habit that you do not like in a person, but you also see that same quality, attribute, or habit in yourself? Thank you.
That was a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, short to the point, but
it's awesome.
Good, yeah.
Yes. I have experienced this myself. About 2 years ago, when I was new into New Hampshire for the Free State Project, I didn't like a particular person very much because, I forgot the trait now, but I think it was because he was always sarcastic.
Okay.
So I was seeing someone at the time, and I mentioned it to her, and she knew this person as well.
Yep.
And she pointed out to me that I was, you know, she did it nicely, but she essentially made me realize that I was projecting. I didn't like him for this trait, but I did this trait all the time.
Oh.
I think it was sarcasm. So ever since then, I've tried to, and I think I've been decent at trying to recognize when I'm complaining about a trait, whether I'm talking about myself.
Yep.
So that is the pot kettle calling the kettle black.
I think that's a very common thing that
right.
people do.
I think it's really common. And, you know, fighting it or stopping it or changing it is hard. Recognizing it is hard. I never even noticed it about myself till someone pointed it out. And then I try to keep an eye out for it because I don't like it.
Yeah. Well, you
As
know
a matter
what?
Of fact, check this out for irony within irony. Yeah. One thing that I don't like about people is hypocrisy. And if I'm doing that, then I'm being hypocritical.
That's like an additional layer. Really peeling the onion here on Pork Therapy. Well, I was going to say, Mike, we just did a show about honesty. And that's pretty cool that your girlfriend was honest with you enough to say, hey, you do this too.
Yeah.
Like she was really calling you out on that one.
Nicer than that. But yeah.
Yeah. So the pot calling kettle black. I think you're absolutely right that people project. And one of the examples that we discussed this a little bit before the show and we were talking about was like the pastors and the preachers and stuff who just rail against gay people and just they say that they're going to, you know, all the fire and brimstone and they're going to hell and they're sinners and they're choosing this and all this stuff. And then inevitably, you know what's coming next. And that is that pastor is going to get caught with another dude or with what, you know,
having
doing
sex,
whatever. Yeah, gay, doing something gay. I mean, we saw it with Ted Haggard when he was with the gay meth prostitute. I don't know. There was some meth involved, but the prostitute wasn't doing meth. Ted Haggard was.
He was lifting luggage.
Oh, that was the other guy. That was George Allen Records, who was the guy who I think he wrote a book about converting gay people to straight.
Oh.
Which is BS.
There's countless.
Yeah. I mean, there's, and then he said he was caught on a European vacation with this, a male escort. And then he claimed that his back was hurt and the male escort was just lifting his luggage. So, I mean, we see that kind of projection again and again. It's like he who doth protest too much kind of thing.
Right.
People are outwardly, disparaging the things that they see
don't
in
like
themselves,
themselves
and don't like. Right.
Or, I guess in that case, maybe it's not that they don't like it about, or in some cases, maybe it's not that they don't like it about themselves. Maybe it's that they're afraid because it doesn't fit into community or it's radical and they're not a radical person. But they don't like something and they're lashing out against it in others instead of in themselves.
Right. Right. And as you pointed out, sometimes they don't even know that it's within themselves on a conscious level. Anyway, of course, they do know it subconsciously. So so how do you deal with that kind of situation where it's like the pot calling the kettle black? You see a quality that you don't like in someone else, but you then realize that it's also in yourself.
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out. So I guess the best thing to do would be to deal with it in yourself before the other person or instead of the other person.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that piece of advice. The best way to handle this is to, as long as you realize that it's present in yourself.
Right.
And I would even go a step further and say that if you see a quality that you don't like in someone else,
then
check to see if it's in yourself.
That's kind of what I do now.
Yeah. Yeah, before you go,
rampaging.
Yeah, exactly. Check to see if this is something that you do yourself. And then, you know, maybe you can empathize with the person a little bit. Why do you do this thing? Well, you know, it's because of this. And can you understand how they feel? Can you understand where they're coming from? Yeah, of course you can. Yeah, I think if you realize that you're displeased with some quality in someone else, but also see that in yourself, the best thing you could probably do is work on it in yourself. And now maybe that person will notice if they're a big part of your life, or maybe they won't notice and you might want to point it out to them.
Yeah.
But I think odds are pretty good that they might notice. Like, this question was vague, of course, even though it was a voicemail, and I'd love to follow up with this person and ask for a more specific example.
I get the impression from just because they're asking it, they probably realized it about themselves.
Yeah.
And saying, and they're probably in shock, like, wow, this happens? I wonder how often this happens.
Yeah, yeah. The first thing I thought of, I was like imagining this scenario when I was listening to the call, that there's two people, they're in a romantic relationship, and they both smoke cigarettes. And one of them is like, oh, I hate it when my partner smokes cigarettes. I wish he would quit. And then they're like, well, crap, so do I. So the solution is for the partner who doesn't like it to quit. And then the other partner will probably notice and say, hey, why'd you quit? Well, I realized I don't like this. We actually just did a show about breaking habits, right, Mike? That was like 124, I think.
Okay. I believe you. I'd have to look it up.
Yeah, we'll link to it on our show notes, of course.
Hey,
but
it was indeed.
It was. It's right up there on the top of the page. And, of course, all of our old episodes are on our website, porktherapy.com. But this particular one about breaking habits, we went through an extensive kind of description of our thought process when each of us have broken habits in the past. And basically what we said was realize things you don't like about the habit, think about those things, decide to change it, and then do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I think this is kind of a cliche, but the realization is the hardest part. Like realizing you have a problem.
Yeah.
Not that this is a problem, but realizing you have a problem is the first step, that kind
right.
of thing.
Yeah.
It really is, because it could be subconscious and you don't see it. And the hardest thing is to recognize it.
Yeah.
Then it may be hard, but it's easier to try and work on fixing it or figuring out how to do it better or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So another example that I thought of when I heard this question was something that relates directly to liberty. I mean, this whole
right.
topic relates to liberty, right? Because we're all trying to improve
yeah.
ourselves, and we want people to want to have relationships with us. We want everything to be voluntary,
mm-hmm.
right? And we don't want to force anybody to be in a relationship with us because of whatever circumstances or anything like that.
Right.
We want to be good people that naturally draw others to ourselves. And one way to do that is to continuously work on ourselves and improve ourselves. But there's another way in which this relates to liberty in that, so I've thought of this before, that I've been like a pot calling a kettle black, because I will see someone do something that I think is compromising their principles.
Oh.
Sometimes there'll be people who claim to be kind of hardcore, I guess, for lack of a better word, but then will do something maybe kind of surreptitiously that is paying the government
right.
or is somehow bowing down to the government or whatever. And I'll see that and I'll be like, oh, that I can't believe they did that. That's
right.
too bad. But then I look immediately next within myself and I look at all the ways that it's like
hey,
Festivus.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, tell me all the ways that I've disappointed you over the past year. And I look at all the ways that I've dealt with the government and, you know, not made a big deal about it or not raised a big stink like I probably should have. And yes, you do have to pick your battles, but it's kind of instructive whenever I'm kind of criticizing someone else for not being hardcore enough that I can look within myself and say, hey, we all do this from time to time. I can certainly understand why they do
right.
it.
Actually, an example from me is regarding liberty is
yeah.
I've looked at certain individuals in the liberty movement and said and thought, oh, they're totally caving on their principles because they're
mm-hmm.
doing X, Y, or Z.
They're paying a fine
right,
or
whatever.
It
is. And then I would look at myself and say, well, wait, you pay those fines.
Yeah.
And then, so.
Or you would, maybe, if you were in that situation.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is how I handled that particular example. I checked my premises and I changed my mind about something,
mm-hmm.
about a value I had. And that is, in this specific case, government is force and government is everywhere. Literally, everywhere that humans exist.
Yeah.
And there, you know, yeah, you can be a rebel and you can stand up and try and withstand the abuse in order to the aggression in order to live your principles.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to have a different threshold, but sometimes
oh, yeah.
you're not going to be able to bend.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to, like you said, choose your battles.
Yeah.
And so I think it's absolutely okay if you cave to the government.
If that's your comfort level.
Yes,
yeah.
if you have to at that point, at that moment, at that time, in this situation, great. If you withstand it in others, In other times, great. Or,
sure.
Or if you at least educate people about why you shouldn't, but you are, that's mm-hmm. great.
Or maybe you choose a different way right. to stand up. Like, so, maybe you pay your property taxes, but you do it not...
Pennies,
okay, I'm
whatever.
Not going to say your. You pay the property taxes that they say you owe on, yeah. on your property.
On their property.
yeah, that you're renting from them. But you pay it in $1 bills or pennies or something.
Right.
Like, there last summer, there was someone that I knew... who incurred some kind of a fine, but she fought it in court, and then eventually when she paid the fine, she paid in pennies.
Right.
And, yeah, she was paying a fine, but she stood up. She didn't do it quietly, and that's more than I can say that I've done in the past in some instances. Now, you know, sometimes I have made a big stink about it and
right.
not gone quietly, but we all have our own comfort level, and in order to keep doing activism, you have to be comfortable to doing it in the first place. And so, you know, don't go... beyond what you're comfortable with.
Well,
I mean, maybe
my point was that in dealing with pot calling the kettle black,
yep.
In this case, I just changed my, I checked my premises and changed something that I found to be incorrect.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's one way to deal with it in yourself.
Sure. Absolutely. Okay. So is that good for this question?
I think so.
Yeah. Thank you very much for the question.
Yes.
And, you know, feel free to clarify if you want to give us a more specific example if we completely miss the mark.
Right.
Which is entirely possible because we're just wildly speculating.
We're totally keeping you anonymous, Maria, so don't... I'm just kidding. I made that up. So,
well, it was a female, but we don't know who.
Yeah, so...
I didn't recognize the voice.
So if you do have a specific example, just call it back in and we'll talk about it again.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
And we certainly do appreciate the call, although it's kind of ironic that we had always been thinking all along that... when we would get calls, the calls would be more specific and more easy to interpret because you'd have
emails,
inflection
yeah.
and it would be like an additional layer of communication on top of the text, which is can be easily misinterpreted. But no, this one was pretty vague. So if you want to clarify, feel free. Question
asker. I don't
know
if it was vague or general. I think it was more general than vague.
Okay. I can see that.
But
I think that's fair.
If you wanted to call back with your specific example, that'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
All right. Thanks a lot. And we're Pork Therapy. Go to our website, porctherapy.com.
Yep. From there, you can click buttons to do all kinds of magic, like send us emails and call us on the phone and all kinds of stuff.
It's not magic. It's technology.
Oh, it's magic.
Oh,
you know. Okay. Show's over.
Well, I'm glad we got in a couple bars before the end of the show. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. And now we'll leave you with a real singer.
Yeah, enjoy the theme. Bye.
They're two crazy porks who host a show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench. Because Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork Therapy. Advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more. At 419-PT-LOVE-4.